Remember the favorite nursery rhyme? And maybe they don't even do nursery rhymes anymore. Maybe the younger generation don't even know nursery rhymes. But I remember Humpty Dumpty. Anybody else remember that nursery rhyme? Okay, that dates you, doesn't it? Uh-huh. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Now, there you go for the younger generation. You've just had a lesson in history, maybe, right? And according to those who know about such things, that piece of wisdom is thousands of years old. Versions of that have appeared in 8 different European languages. And in its primitive form, that was more of a riddle to be solved. It asked the question, what when broken can never be repaired, not even by strong and wise individuals? And of course, the answer to the riddle is an egg. An egg, once it is broken, cannot be put back together again. You can't scoop up the insides and try and put that back into the shell and then glue that shell back together. Once the egg's broken, then the wisest and even the strongest can't put that broken egg back together again. And the nursery rhyme kind of paints a rather bleak picture, doesn't it? What can never be put back together again? Well, something that's broken. So even if you gather the wisest and the strongest individuals, they can't put it back together. It's kind of a hopeless picture that is presented. But the reality is that we are all broken. We have all experienced a fall that's left us fractured and in shambles. And in our brokenness, we become self-centered. Our broken emotions prevent us from being able to love like we should. Our broken hearts impede our progress in being able to open up to others and kind of be ourselves and maybe reveal how broken we really are. Some respond to the brokenness by becoming defensive or maybe overachieving and living a life of abandon. And because we are broken, we're not experiencing the life that we were meant to live. And that's why it is so important for the church to be a community of healing grace and love. Because we live in a fallen and broken world, we must make sure that we, as the body of Christ, are extending the compassion and care of Jesus to those around us. And that's why we've begun this year with this sermon series focusing on imperatives for a healthy new year. Our theme verse for this series comes from Zechariah 11:16, which says, I am about to raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are going astray, and he will not seek the lost or heal the broken. He will not sustain the healthy, but he will devour the flesh of the fat sheep and tear off their hooves. In this description of what a worthless shepherd would do, we find also a description of how the good shepherd is to care for those entrusted to him. And so on the 1st of January, we introduced 4 God-given imperatives for our church in order for us to be healthy in this new year. We must care for the wayward or disconnected. We must seek the lost. We must heal the broken. And we must sustain the healthy. And each week, we're examining a different imperative in a little bit more detail. Today, our focus is on healing the broken. Our text from Zechariah, the word translated heal, means to mend or to cure, to make whole, to restore to health or proper function. It carries the idea of bandaging up a wound, gently wrapping it and bracing it so the bones can heal, so they can be restored to health. The word translated broken in its verb form means to break or to burst, to break into pieces, to smash or to shatter, to destroy. Here in our text, the word is in its noun form, referring to those who have been broken in pieces, those who have been shattered. It's the picture of a little lamb with a broken bone. And that lamb is completely helpless to heal itself. And the worthless shepherd could care less about the brokenness of the little lamb, and he's content to leave it to suffer and die alone. But praise God, we have a good shepherd who cares tremendously for each and every one of us, who cares for all of those who are broken. Jesus is our good shepherd. And as Jesus was beginning his public ministry, he read from the prophet Isaiah, where Isaiah was predicting the kind of Messiah that would come. And in Isaiah 61, he prophesied that the Messiah would come and he would bind up the brokenhearted. The coming Messiah would tenderly care for those who were broken. And over and over and over again, we see in the life and ministry of our Good Shepherd Jesus that compassionate care for those who are broken. One such encounter is recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, as Jesus restores the sight of a man born blind. And from this encounter, we discover five ingredients that will help us answer the question and fulfill this ministry imperative on healing the broken. So it's appropriate to ask, how do we do that? If that's one of the imperatives that God has for us as a church, how do we go about healing those who are broken? Well, here in John chapter 9, through Jesus' encounter with this blind man, we discover some ingredients that help us fulfill this ministry imperative and become a community of healing grace and love. So go ahead and open your Bibles to the Gospel of John chapter 9. We'll begin right at the beginning, verses 1 and 2. It says, as he was passing by, referring to Jesus, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples questioned him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus saw this broken man. So the very first ingredient to be a community of healing grace is to accept the person. In other words, we need to see people the way that Jesus sees them. We must see the brokenness of those around us. The disciples saw the blind man with their eyes, but they failed to see him as an individual who was broken. They failed to see him as an individual who was in need of God's grace. They saw him with or through critical, judgmental eyes. All they could see was a blind man, a sinner under God's judgment. All they could see was an outcast. You see, the Jews believed that to be born with a physical defect was the result of sin. Now, they debated whose sin caused the defect. Some believed it was some terrible sin that the parents committed, and that's why the child was born with a defect, blindness in this case. Others said, no, it's not the parent's sin. It must be the sin of that child, even before they were born, that God caused them to be born blind. So they debated whose sin, but the end result was the same, that whoever was born with that defect is viewed in that society as under God's judgment and condemnation. They are a sinner. Now, in order to heal the broken, our church must be an accepting community. And when I say accepting the broken, don't misinterpret that. I'm not saying we must be tolerant of sin. That's not the message that we see in the New Testament. What I'm saying is that as a community of Christ followers who are in the process of being renewed and restored from our brokenness, we have to accept this reality that we live in a fallen and broken world. That means the people we encounter are fallen and broken. And it seems to me to make a whole lot more sense to do what Jesus did and just accept that reality that the people that we encounter and engage are broken and in need of grace. We must accept the person in their brokenness, as opposed to saying, look, you're really messed up. And when you get your act together, then come back and join us in church. But man, you are so messed up, we can't deal with you. Don't come here. If we are going to be a community where people who are broken, who are messed up, are going to find healing grace, then we have to accept the person in their brokenness. Now, praise God, He meets us where we are in our brokenness, but He doesn't leave us there. Amen? But it isn't it's in the context of this community of grace that we find healing and restoration and the power to change. We must boldly proclaim the truth of God's Word. We'll not step away from that because that's what brings us to that point of renewal. But the reason for our brokenness is sin. And if we're going to heal the broken, then we just have to accept this reality that we're all kind of messed up, right? We all need some healing grace. We all need to be restored. And we are at different points in our progress toward that. And ultimately, we're going to be fully renewed and restored. But as a community, if we are going to fulfill this imperative of healing the broken, then we have to accept the person in their brokenness. I remember a number of years ago, I got a call from an individual. They wouldn't identify themselves, but kind of asking me some questions about our church and particularly what we believed about homosexuality. And I expressed to them what our conviction was, what my conviction about that and what God's Word has to say. And yet I tried to say to that individual, I said, but I want to invite you to come. You need to be here in the company of God's people so that you can experience the grace of God's community. And yeah, we want to work with you to help you live a life that's pleasing to God. See, what better place to be than here? And I know that makes us uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. But you know, we're all sinners, regardless of how that sin expresses itself. We are broken. And if we're going to be a healing community, then let's accept the person in their brokenness. If we only see a blind man, if we only see a drug addict or an alcoholic or a prostitute or a homosexual or an adulterer, then we'll never see a person in need of grace. We'll never see a person who is broken. We need to see people through the eyes of Jesus. To fulfill this ministry imperative, we have to accept the person in their brokenness, and we must be a welcoming community for all sinners, ourselves included. Second ingredient to help heal the broken is to acknowledge their pain and brokenness. We must understand them. We need to understand the pain that they have experienced. When John says that Jesus saw a man blind from birth, it means that Jesus did more than just see him with his physical eyes. It means he also understood the pain and the brokenness of this man. Jesus saw the blind man for more than what he was. He also saw him for what he could become. Jesus understood his pain and problems. To heal the broken, the church must be a community where love is generously expressed and where people, in spite of their past in spite of their problems, in spite of their sin, feel that they are welcomed and that they are understood. Now, because Jesus is the Son of God, He can see and know what's in a person's heart, and so that came a little easier for Jesus to understand individuals. We're going to have to work at it a little bit harder. So how do you get to this point of understanding someone's pain? How do you come to that point of understanding their particular brokenness? Well, you have to get to know them. You have to spend some time with them. And you have to listen to their story. I didn't say you have to agree with their story, but if you want to understand where they've been, you have to listen with an open heart to hear their brokenness. So we need to understand them. We need to seek to understand their brokenness and then let them express their pain and sorrow. Acknowledge their pain and brokenness. Third ingredient to heal the broken is to affirm God's love for them. This blind man has been rejected pretty much all his life. He is viewed as a sinner under God's judgment. Certainly not the recipient of God's love and favor. The church is the body of Jesus, and we must extend God's love to the broken and brokenhearted. The disciples see the blind man, and it only creates a theological debate about whose sin caused his blindness. But Jesus responds differently. And by his response, he affirms God's love for the blind man. John records that response in verse 3. Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him." Now, unfortunately, sometimes we just kind of read that verse and then we move right on to the next one. But I don't want you to miss the bombshell that Jesus just unloaded here. He says this man's blindness is not the result of his sin and it's not the result of his parents' sin. That is a huge declaration of grace. Jesus doesn't focus on the past. What matters most is not whose sin caused this predicament. What matters most is this present moment. And Jesus affirms God's love for the man because God is about to do an amazing and wondrous miracle for this man. This blind man is not beyond God's love and care. This blind man is about to be the recipient of a wondrous miracle. God is going to display His amazing power in this man's life. To heal the broken, we must affirm God's love for the broken and brokenhearted. And honestly, it really doesn't matter how they came to be in their present state. We sometimes want to go into lecture mode. I do. I'm pretty good at the lecture mode, you know, particularly for my kids. When they were growing up, Dad would pull out the lecture. And when they made mistakes, you know, here's the lecture. Here's how I'm going to fix this. Here's how you correct that. And sometimes what they really needed was not the lecture. What they really needed was some understanding and some grace. I remember we had just moved up here and we had made a trip back to Carthage because the kids wanted to, you know, see their friends, and so I was like, okay, you know, we'll make some time, we'll go do that. And we're getting ready to leave and head back home, and you know, Matt just goes off in a real bad attitude, you know, and I thought, man, I'm gonna fix that. I'm thinking in my mind, you know, here I've gone to all the trouble, you know, I've taken time out, we've driven them kids back here so they can see their friends, and this is the thanks I get. He's having a fit, and just when I was about to go ahead and let him have both barrels, this thought kind of comes to my mind. It must surely have been from the Holy Spirit, because I was about to take that boy out. And it's like, he's just trying to express the pain that he's feeling because he misses his friends. So he didn't get the lecture. Got a little grace instead. No lecture here for the blind man. So, well, here's the reason why you're suffering. Here's the sin that, you know, no lecture. It's affirming God's love. Jesus says, it really doesn't matter. What matters is right now. And right now, God wants to do something amazing in this man's life. Psalm 147:3 says of God that He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Jesus encounters this blind man. He doesn't give him a lecture. He doesn't condemn him. Jesus affirms God's love for him. Now that's in contrast to the response of his disciples. All they see is a blind man, a sinner under God's judgment. Jesus extends God's love and grace to the blind man. The fourth ingredient to heal the broken is to apply God's grace to their wounds. Listen to what Jesus does next in verse 6. After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes. So Jesus made a salve from the mud, and he applied that to the blind man's eyes. Now, there's absolutely nothing that the blind man can do to change his circumstance. There's absolutely nothing the blind man can do to restore his eyesight. There's nothing here in the text that even remotely suggests that this blind man is deserving of having his blindness removed. There's nothing in the text that suggests that there is some merit on the part of the blind man that, see, you know, Jesus says, "Oh, I see you are such a great guy, I'm going to restore your sight." No. This is grace. This is Jesus, the Son of God, extending God's grace to this guilty, undeserving, broken sinner. And what Jesus did for him, he also does for us. Because this blind man's story is also our story. We too were born blind. We too are guilty of sin, broken because of our sin. And like the blind man, nothing that we can do to change our circumstance. We can't remove that blindness that we've been born with. And so we are helpless, but praise God, not hopeless. Because Jesus will do for us exactly what he did for this man. He will extend God's grace to us, healing our brokenness, restoring us to what we were meant to be. Jesus can take our brokenness and mess, and he can produce something beautiful from it that results in praise and glory to God. But in order to be healed, in order to be restored, we have to do what this blind man did. And all he did was humbly receive the grace that Jesus offered. Nothing in the text suggests that he resisted Jesus putting that salve in his eyes. And then he obediently follows through with what Jesus tells him to do. The final ingredient to heal the broken is we must assimilate the broken. Jesus applied that mud to the man's eyes. He says, "Now go wash in the pool of Siloam." John tells us that he left and he went and washed his eyes and he came back seeing. It's such a remarkable transformation. Nobody quite sure it's really the same guy. His family and friends begin to question him. Ultimately, he's kind of brought before the religious leaders. They begin to question him. Maybe interrogate is a better, more accurate description of what they begin to do, because they can't believe someone who had been born blind has now had his vision restored. This can't be the same guy. And then he begins to tell them, based on his limited knowledge, who did that. It was Jesus. He doesn't know a lot, but as he continues to tell the story over and over again, he kind of comes to a little bit firmer conviction about Jesus and what he's done for him. His response is not what the religious leaders want to hear. They get so angry at him, they finally say, "You're a sinner, you were born in sin, you're going to die in sin, we don't want to have anything to do with you, and we kick you out." Excommunicating. But look what Jesus does, recorded here in verses 35 to 38. When Jesus heard that they had thrown the man out, he found him and asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" He asked. Jesus answered, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." "I believe, Lord," he said, and he worshiped him. Rejected by the religious leaders, but welcomed by Jesus. Jesus sought him out so that he could reveal himself to this former blind man and he could include him in his eternal family. Excluded by man, but included by God. The church, as the body of Christ, is a healing community where broken people are accepted and assimilated into this caring family of faith so they too can find healing and restoration for their brokenness. We need other people to be able to be whole and complete and to experience God's grace through them. It's in the context of a loving church family that we find encouragement and strength to face the challenges, the hurts, the heartaches, and the brokenness that life brings. We began this message quoting the nursery rhyme Humpty Dumpty. But did you know there's a Humpty Dumpty story contained in the Bible? It's at the very beginning in Genesis. We call it the fall. Adam and Eve exist in this perfect paradise. They enjoy unbroken fellowship with their Creator and, in fact, with all of His creation. But then they chose to disobey God's command and they eat the forbidden fruit. They thought that would give them knowledge to be just like God. But when the dust settles, Adam and Eve are not perched on a lofty plane. They are fallen. They are broken. And like an egg that can't be put back together again, there's no going back. Things have forever changed. Regardless of how hard we try, things can't be put back to that pre-broken state. Our contemporary fall is seen in that feeling of things just don't work. This world is messed up, isn't it? Wow. Our lives appear out of control. Changes come quicker than our ability to cope. Our world is broken. Our lives are broken. Our hearts are broken. And we might be helpless to be able to put our lives back together again, but we are not hopeless. Because Jesus can do for us what we or anyone else cannot do. And Jesus can heal our brokenness, transforming our brokenness into something beautiful. Thought about bringing an egg with me. I left that at home because I was afraid I'd break it before I got to this point of the message. But I was going to just drop it in a bowl and let it break and then suggest, you know, that's a pretty accurate picture of life, isn't it? It's a fragile gift and easily broken. But here's the deal. If I reach into that bowl where the broken egg is and I peel out the shell of that egg and then I mix in some ingredients and turn up the heat, and now I've got an omelet going. I love omelets. See, maybe the brokenness kind of reveals what's inside. And God adds some ingredients in and begins to mix that up, and He produces something beautiful out of that mess, out of that brokenness. Something that it glorifies Him and blesses us and others. Jesus can take the mess of our lives and He can produce something beautiful from that mess. But here's the catch. He can only do that if you give Him the mess. He can't do that as long as you keep trying to fix it yourself. But when you're willing to say, man, this is a mess, and Jesus, I can't fix it, but I do believe You can. Would You take the mess of my life and all of the broken eggs that represent the brokenness of my life and just go ahead and mix in the ingredients You need to make something beautiful of me? And when You do that, my friend, it's going to make an omelet out of you. It's going to make something beautiful out of your life. We got to trust Him with the mess. Obediently follow what He tells us to do. And if we'll do that, then like this former blind man, we'll discover that God has done something amazing and miraculous for us. He has cleansed us, forgiven us, made us brand new. Let's pray. Father, thank You for a love so great that, God, You are moved to enter into our pain and brokenness to bring healing and transformation. And while there's no going back to that pre-broken state, Father, we do look forward in hope to that day when we are restored fully and completely in harmony with You and with all of creation and with one another. Oh, but until that day, Lord, we are broken, in need of grace. And Father, I pray that because we are the recipients of Your grace, that we will generously extend that grace to others who are broken. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe as you've been listening this morning, it just really rang true in your heart that your life is a mess. It's broken. You've been trying desperately to fix it, but nothing is working. Can I invite you this morning just to give that mess of your life to Jesus? Let Him forgive and cleanse you. Let Him take that mess and produce something beautiful. If you'd like to do that, then just pray this prayer quietly in your heart along with me. Say, dear God, we both know that my life is a mess. It's not what I wanted it to be. It's certainly not what You intended it to be. And we both know I can't fix it. But I do believe You can. So Jesus, I'm giving You my life. I'm asking You to forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all those things that I've done wrong. Jesus, I'm welcoming you into my heart and life right now, and I want you to be in control and make something beautiful out of my life. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll go where you ask me to go, Lord. I just want to be made whole in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.